Our Hebrew lesson today is from Psalm 118, and I'm going to be reading from selected verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, God's steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. I have been through such trials, been tested severely, but God did not give me over to death. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me, and I have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the God's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, I'm realizing I'm reading the wrong gospel reading. Hold on one second. All right. My sermon will not make very much sense if we're not using the... Hold on. Okay, let's start this again. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away from it. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead people. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my friends to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Easter worship this year looks pretty different than it has in years past. I know I am grieving that we aren't packing into the sanctuary adorned with spring flowers, raising our voices as the swell of the organ and brass carries the sound of our joy, celebrating Christ's resurrection with all the glory and gusto we can manage. Recognizing that loss, I've heard pastors say that when we can gather together again in person with our people, that will be Easter. And it will. It will be a marvelous rebirth of our in-person community after a long, much too long, dormant period. Yet in some ways, I think this Easter will be much closer to what Easter originally felt like to the disciples. For them, there was no glory or gusto. Instead, as they peered into the tomb at dawn, there was emptiness and gloom, confusion and contradiction, fear and doubt. No one began the first Easter morning dressed in new spring finery, and no one gathered with special instruments to sing songs of praise, because on Easter morning, the disciples were still in mourning, still disoriented and heartsick over a devastating loss, still trying to grapple with a breathtaking new reality they had hoped never to experience. Sound familiar? In some ways, this abnormal celebration today of Easter in the midst of a pandemic comes a little closer to the original Easter than our traditional Sunday morning pomp and circumstance celebration in the sanctuary. We still, of course, know the outcome, but Today, there's a bit of a hush over the airwaves. There's a sense of humility as we gather in plainer clothes and in simpler circumstances. We are here to meet Jesus, not in the sanctuary, but like the women in a cemetery. A lot of us are indeed still in that cemetery this morning, whether it's fear of contracting the coronavirus for ourselves or our loved ones, anxiety over lost income or isolation and depression from social distancing and radically altered routines, or trying to figure out how to navigate life happenings that would already be stressful even if we weren't in a global crisis. Many of us are struggling, stuck in Holy Saturday with Jesus still in the tomb and our eyes yet unable to glimpse any sign of resurrection on the horizon. Right now, Park Avenue people are living through the perils of possible contagion during necessary medical visits. We are working in hospitals and going to great lengths to keep our families safe. We are dealing with mental health crises exacerbated by quarantine. We have COVID-19 diagnoses in our families. We are confronting job loss and major dips in income. We're mourning the loss of beloved pets. We are facing the unexpected death of loved ones and the strangeness of funerals where you can't hug anyone. And that's not even touching the national and global implications. But you know, good things are happening too. Even some really joyful things like new babies. As we shared last Sunday about Lucian, Allison and Jordan's new baby girl, and this week about Raymond, Ariana and Max's new baby. What an absolute joy to welcome brand new little people into the world. Spring is arriving with budding life around every corner. We're finding ways to smile, sharing jokes, or playing games across the distance. We're reaching out with more purpose to neighbors and strangers we once passed by. We're acting like we belong to each other, being good to each other, even in the face of widespread uncertainty and devastation. Park Avenue folks are shopping for groceries for those who can't and sewing masks for those who need them. Remote worship and virtual coffee hour and digital prayer are connecting us to Park Avenue friends who couldn't make it to worship even before we went remote. What a blessing. And this week I read about Diane, a woman who under social distancing can no longer clean houses, which was her only means of supporting her family. I feel like I have always struggled. And then COVID-19 hit us, she wrote. I've been terrified and the little bit of money I have is going fast. But this week she got a check in the mail from Together Rising, an organization I support with a monthly donation that you might've heard me talk about before. I don't know where you got my name and address, she wrote, but I just opened the mail and found the most wonderful thing. I'm still worried because I don't know when I can work again, but this donation is going to help me tremendously. So much stress has just been lifted off my shoulders. My heart is about to burst from the appreciation and love I feel. Yes, there is still darkness, and there is also light. There was a lot of death the year I served as a chaplain on pediatric oncology and cardiac wards, all of it heartbreaking, all of it far too young. I think of several of those kids this time of year because it's when they passed. But there were also many life-giving moments when a brother, a sister, and a dad all were baptized together, when a baby was born unexpectedly in the ER, when patients finally well enough to go home got to do so and could be kids again. The deep bonds were built on shared sacred moments. That time is when I learned not to wait for the heaviness to lift before I allowed myself to dance. It's where I learned to live in the darkness and the light. To stand fully in the breathtaking grief of one and the heart-swelling joy of the other. And it's where I discovered Jesus right beside me, walking the hospital halls with me as both the brutal and the beautiful of life washed over us. Did you notice that this morning's scripture begins in the dark? While it was still dark, it says. That's where we are. That's where we are in this pandemic, and it's where many of us are in our lives, still in the dark, still filled with uncertainty, grief, fear. And isn't that the point? Jesus doesn't wait for the moment of triumph, but instead meets us in the midnight hour, in the darkness before dawn, in the hopeless places of our lives, and in the brokenness of the world. Did you notice too that even though the angel tells the women not to be afraid, the two Marys run off to share the news with a mixture of fear and great joy? It's then, still afraid, that they run into Jesus himself and discover that the angel's good news is true. So this Easter, if you feel less than thrilled at being home in your pajamas, separated from family, unable to celebrate as you normally would, if your current challenges or those of the world are weighing you down and the idea of singing victoriously about resurrection falls a little flat, if you feel stuck in Holy Saturday, sealed in the tomb, and your sorrow or your worry or your despair just cannot be buoyed up, it's okay. Because that is exactly where Jesus meets us, in the midst of our fear and grief. In other words, the resurrected Jesus meets us right where we need him most and extends that good news to us right when we need it most. That death is not the end, that love is, and that all that we fear and all that weighs us down will one day be lifted, maybe sooner than we think. And before we have fully emerged from the night, our fear and joy mingle together. Jesus meets us while it is still dark. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. And now go out into this glorious spring day, buoyed up indeed by the joy of Jesus's resurrection, knowing that it is through death and through abandonment and through terrible suffering that he went before the new life came. And so wherever you are on that spectrum today, or if you're feeling all of those emotions in this season, this strange season, Jesus is there with you. And Jesus will hold for us that new life until we are ready to embrace it with joy. Go in peace.